quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned of the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus, they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. We said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. And those who so carelessly forgotten their God. There's a land that is fairer than gold, and by faith we can see it afar, by the Father who is over the way, to prepare us a dwelling place there. And the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest, and the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute. the blessings that follow our day. And the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Each day I'll do the golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a vain, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. To be a child of God each day, my life must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roll, and strive to have some troubled soul. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. The only life that will endure is the one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. I'll help someone in time of need, and journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick, the pure and weak, and words of kindness to them speak. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. Thank God for every flower in each tree. Thank God for all the mountains in the sea. Thank God for giving life to you and me, wherever you may be. Thank God. There's a road that's straight and narrow that the saints ever traveled on, paved with all the tribulation, not a mire that I've gone. If you're grateful for the victory and for showing us the way, then give thanks for all your blessings. Get on your knees and pray. Thank God for every flower in each tree. Thank God for all the mountains in the sea. Thank God for giving life to you and me. Wherever you may be, thank God. In this world of grief and sorrow, filled with selfishness and greed, there remains a glory fountain to supply our every need. You can find it in the temple with a welcome on the door. So be sure to count your blessings before you ask for more. Thank God for every flower in each tree. Thank God for all the mountains in the sea. Thank God for giving life to you and me. Wherever you may be, thank God. Be forgiving to the wayward like the Master told us to. When he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They would change their way of living if they could but understand. So remember, they're your brothers, they need a helping hand. Thank God for every flower and each tree. Thank God for all the mountains and the seas. Thank God for giving life to you and me. Wherever you may be, thank God. Be forgiven to the wayward like the Master told us to. When he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They would change their way of living if they could but understand. So remember, they're your brothers, they need a helping hand. Thank God for every flower and each tree. Thank God for all the mountains in the sea. Thank God for giving life to you and me. Wherever you may be, thank God.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to be sure of your calling and your election. For by doing this, you will never stumble into sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. You shall never fail. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you're talking about, I just want to kind of emphasize how important it is that not everybody's called to preach. You see, we're not preachers here. We're putting out a truth that has been already preached, has been established. Brother Branham was a preacher. He was called of God to do exactly what he did. He was that prophet. He was that Malachi 4 prophet. He was called of God to do. And then when he passed on, the picture continued with Brother Jackson. And then when he went off the scene, God was looking around for somebody that's going to hold on to the fort, hold on to the things that have already been firmly established through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. That's why we keep repeating it, because that's the only job description that you and I have. Then God gave you and I The description told you spoke right into your spirit. Why did you put us together? Ever since you put us together, we've been nothing but persecuted, harassed, and everything under the sun. And the Lord simply told you to hold on to this truth. That's why it's very important that you and I know what God has called us to be. And as time went on, he just called me, woke me up one day, one morning at 2 o'clock, told me he's coming soon. And then as time went on, the Lord filled in the necessary things. And I know my job. I know my commission. My commission was given to me just about 2-3 months after he saved me back in 1971. And he just simply told, spoke it right into my spirit, Son of Man, I have set you as a watchman. That's all we are. We're watchmen. We tell people what's coming and we warn people. That's our job description. And we're doing our level best to try to stay, to continue on with the program that has already been established. How many are you going to hear out there that'll tell you the importance of God sending a prophet, even in these closing days of time? And nobody's going to tell you about it. But see, we've been called out to do that very specific job. We're not making things up. And I go into history. When you go into back into history and you see how these wannabes, everybody wants to be a preacher. It seems like everybody wants to go in the pulpit and preach. And they want to be a this and they want to be a that. God, I've been reading Leviticus, and God was very specific who he wanted to be up there at that pulpit. He told it could be only Aaron and his sons. And anybody that dared put themselves to that job, they were smitten. They were just not qualified to do that job. First you have to have the genetics, and then you have to be called of God to do this very job. It could only be a Levite that would stand in there in that place. And people, they thought they could go up there and preach like Korah, Datan, and Abiram. They thought they were called to preach. They even went as far as to rebuke Moses, thinking they think you're the only holy one here. They got real verbal and real mean. And see, that's what happens out there today, to this day. There are people that are not called to preach yet. They think they can get up to preach. They just, and that whole other, I think, system is set up that way. I think anybody can just go and preach if they can't find, see, they just throw somebody in their hat. Now you're going to be a preacher, whether you like it or not. He's not called to preach. You got to go, somebody that whole thing, that whole system is so anti-word that, you know, eventually we just had to, the Lord had to move us out of there, and then he'd give us his, because he gave me my calling back when he saved me, back in 1971, and I've been trying my level best to do exactly what he told me to do. Be a watchman. Go and warn people. A watchman, Ezekiel was a watchman. He went and warned the people. Because God said, if you don't go warn them, I'll hold you accountable. That's been our job. We go warn people. We tell them what's coming. We tell them where it's at. We tell them what they need to do. Well, that's up to them if they don't do it, if they don't listen. There's nothing we can do. We're just trying to make sure that their blood is not on our hands. You know, we told that letter from Delta. We sent books to that Acadia guy. These have all these other right people under their watch, and their blood is going to be required of them. Because they put themselves up in Moses' seat, you know. They think they're called of God to do that. No, they're just be thrown in a hat, and somehow they want it somewhere along the road of life. They wanted that job, and now they got it. Well, I tell you what, if you put yourself in the position that you're not called to be, you're going to have a lot of blood on your hands, because, like I say.
And it's, how can one speak on things that they don't know themselves of? Like, if you speak on Christianity, first and foremost, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're born again, then if God calls you, first of all, he'll test you. Because not everybody can withstand all the attacks that the devil sends at that person. And God will see if, first of all, he knows your makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And like Paul, he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And he was a chosen vessel. He was an ordained vessel that God had before the foundation of the world. That Paul is going to be that vessel that he's going to use for the Gentile, for the church age of Ephesus. And you can see down through time how God had specific men, mm-hmm. and he called them for a specific job. And a lot of people, they preach, but they're really not called to preach, and mm-hmm. they don't know. They just say things that they're taught. See, in order to really teach something, you have to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you know something when you're not a Christian? You know, how can you teach the gospel when you yourself are not a Christian? And a lot of these preachers, they just decided one day they're going to go to Bible school and learn theology and be a preacher.
Yeah, it's pretty sad out there, but when you look at it through the eyes of reality, see, we look at things in reality. We don't make up things. We look at it, we look at history, and the Lord has been teaching us in the last, all our lives He's been teaching us for this specific job that we're doing here. And we look and we see around the world what's going on. Everybody and their dog, they think they're called to preach. And then you listen to them for a while, and they are completely clueless of what they're talking about, because there's only one message to preach here in Laodicea, and is that the fact that God did send a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple. Heavenly Father, I want to just come into your presence once again, Lord. Give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. We just ask that you would help us to say things in such a manner, Lord, that would be easily understood, Lord. We know that you've called us to do this very job, and we just pray, Lord, that we'll just do it unwaveringly and just do it with boldness and with a surety, Lord, that that's what you've called us to do, that's what you call us to be, and there's only one message, and that's hold on to the things that we have been taught. We look in history, Lord, and we see how many wannabes are out there perverting the picture. Even back in the days of Jeremiah, there was a lot of phony ones up there, and they ended up being phony and then directing the people the wrong direction. It's just taking to this very day. God has called Jeremiah, He's called all these prophets to hold line on the word and to tell people where it's at and what's going on. And even to this day, we see a lot of people out there, Lord. They go out there and preach, but they are completely clueless what they're preaching on, Lord. And we just pray you'll just continue to do it as you see fit. You've given us this schooling. You allowed us to see what's going on out there in the Pentecostal churches. And then you allowed us to find the ministry of Brother Branham and the church age messenger, the prophet to the age. And then you allowed us to continue on with the program, and you brought us to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And then you used us and you told us to go out there and hold on the line on the things that had been given to the church age of Laodicea. And then you gave us a revelation of that midnight cry. We're just continuing on with the program that you have established from before the foundation of the world, Lord. And I just pray, whatever we say and do, you're burdened in the hearts of the people that we're not doing our own thing. We're just doing something, that there'll be something here in this closing day of the time, done the ways of something that people can come to put their trust in, Lord. We just pray you'll open the hearts of the people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah, you gotta know history. You know, mm-hmm. if you don't know history, what's been going on, every time God does something, Satan sent them his phonies, you know. Mm-hmm. You go back into the days of Paul, they wanted to copy, they had a lot of copycats of mm-hmm. Paul. The Bible just doesn't talk about it. It's just from time to time, it lets you, gives mm-hmm. you a hint of what was going on. And then everybody there, they wanted to pervert Paul, and they wanted to be an apostle Paul. But they weren't calling. They went as far as to even forge his signature, unless mm-hmm. even this. Now this message comes from the Apostle Paul, and the forged signature, because he says that, and if somebody sends a different message than that we have been preached, let that man be accursed. And then he goes far as to say, even if somebody forges my signature, it's a signature mm-hmm. as if it was us that's speaking. And it was us that's speaking. It was somebody else that pretended, a wannabe, a pretender. Mm-hmm. And that's how it happened back there. But see, if you don't know history, and you don't know the Bible, then you don't know what's been going on over the last, basically the last 6,000 years, ever since man was here. Because Satan, God does something, and Satan comes along and perverts that very thing that God is doing. And not like talking a lot about the church age of Sardis, back in the days of Martin Luther, all these people had to do was establish what Martin Luther has brought to the church world back at that 1500 when he brought them out of Roman Catholicism, out of the Dark Age. And what did the devil do? As soon as Martin Luther comes on the scene, he steps back and he figures out, how can I pervert that Martin Luther message of just to live by faith? And then he comes in with that Zwingli, with his idea, and how you can't have music in the church. And then he puts on a big self-righteous religious cloak, and he's way better versed than Martin Luther ever taught of being. But he's got the people going on his side, and before you know it, that whole movement was perverted, and then it came in, and then along comes Martin Jakob Wouter, then along comes Peter Riedemann, along comes Andreas Ehrenbreit, and like I said, Zwingli, and thousands of them that they didn't even mention came in and then perverted that whole thing, that church here, the Sardis, back in the day, they didn't know what direction to go. Before you know it, that whole thing went out, and then they denominated and became, how did they come the Lutherans? And then that church went off the scene, and then along comes Wesley, and it's the same thing. Along comes the devil, tried to copycat Wesley, and tried to pretend that they're the preachers, but God sent the church messenger, and all anybody had to do was lift up that angel that used Wesley's lips and continue on with what Wesley was preaching. That's all they had to do. And the same thing here. And the church here, the Laodicea, all these wannabes, these Jimmy Swaggers, these big known evangelists, they all know that God sent Brother Branham. But see what the devil does? He uses them to pervert the message, to pervert it. And it's the very same thing that happened back throughout history. But see, you and I, we know history. We know what the devil does. And here he comes on with his Eddie Biskel. And look at all these people that Eddie Biskel has under the impression. Well, he's gone now, but he's got all these people, had him under the impression that he's the successor to William Branham. And he was not, he wasn't called to do that. It's just his own idea, his own ego. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, he had nothing. And all that blood is going to be on his hands. And because he hijacked the job that was assigned to Brother Jackson. And all they did, they made that sure that he's perverts the people instead of directing them. See, when I heard about all that, I directed people. I went to put a chart on their church right up at Cloverdale that Brother Jackson is that man. He's the successor to Brother Brenda. And I told it to Biskel right to his face. I told him, I see you're laboring. I see you haven't found what you're looking for yet. And the problem is you cannot accept the fact that God used Brother Raven and Jackson to continue on with the program. He knew exactly what I was talking about. Oh, no, brother, it's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost uses a vessel. Mm-hmm. And he knew it. I know that he knew it because the look he gave me, almost like saying, how did you know? How did you figure that out? But see, I know exactly. Because I've been called early on in my life. The Lord said, Sam, I've called you to be a watchman. Mm-hmm. This is your job now. You can either sweep it under the rug, but it's still your job, and I'm going to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. If you don't go warn them, you're going to be held accountable. And that's what you and I have been doing for the last 17 of years. We've got this website. We use this website to warn people. And if you come under it, you're going to have an expectant end. You're going to have a glorious future. Mm-hmm. You come underneath that, you'll end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just that simple.
When you will go back in your life, and when God called you to be a watchman for the, and you can see for the Hutterite nation, a watchman, you know, and you had to go up and tell the truth and tell them the truth, and that's what a watchman does. He watches something, you know, and protects something. And if all you did was tell the that Hutterite that they're wrong, you know, and then they kicked you out. That's what usually they do with the truth, and then you just told that Eddie Baskill, you know, that God continued on with Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. And that's all a watchman, that God calls a watchman to do, mm-hmm. to watch and protect what God is doing. And then the same way with when this teaching came out with Brother Allen and with Tim Rutherford and Russell Davis and these people, we were told to keep a watch on the Word of God and mm-hmm. what has been given to us in this hour, and that's if God calls you to do that, like I know. When all this confusion arose, he spoke to me. There's two scriptures he gave me. He spoke to me, one in Timothy and one in Rome, to remember the things, to continue in the things that we have been taught. He didn't teach us. Brother Jackson, Brother Branham didn't teach us we're in the third day mm-hmm. When we weren't. And these are the things that if you don't keep a watch out, the devil very soon has you back in the dark ages, back into Roman Catholicism. And that's what we're watching on, you know, the Word of God, not to compromise it, because the minute you start compromising, it takes you right back to Roman Catholicism, because that's where everything is heading to, is the whore and her harlots. And God gave us that scripture to continue in the things that we have been taught. And the other scripture was, withdraw from those that do not hold on to the doctrines that we have been taught. And that's exactly what we did. We withdrew from these teachings. Like, we had to withdraw from that Hutterite system, because it's not built on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. They use certain things in the Bible, and then they capitalize it, and then they build on that. But it's not on the foundation of the Word of God. The structure is not built on that foundation, no matter how people try to sweet coat it. It is not.
And yeah, exactly right. Brother Jackson barely in the ground. And then the devil, he grabs a hold of that simpleton, that James Allen, and he comes low, starts to give him a revelation, a phony revelation that we're in the third day. And so mm-hmm. subtly, it took him about 6 months to finally come out and tell the people we're in the third day. And so much he put it on the internet. He put it on a contender. And mm-hmm. then, and see, he's not real. He's a phony. And I called him up. Once I saw where he was going at, I called him up and I just simply said, I'll do what my job is. I went to warn him. I said, hey, Alan, you're preaching wrong. I can't support you anymore. Mm-hmm. And oh, he was very offended. I talked a whole hour with him on the phone. I would have drove him down there, but 1,500 miles to drive down there. I'd have thrown him straight to his face if I would have seen him. But I called him up. I said, I can't support you anymore. You're preaching wrong. We're not in the third day. And this thing you had about four parts of the first resurrection, there's three parts, but there's an A and a B to everyone. I tried to explain the best as I could. And what does he do? He does exactly what the Hutterites did. He cuts me off from getting the contender, and then he tells the people down there and not to talk to me anymore when I call him up. Give him my number. If this number calls you, make sure you don't answer the phone. And that's exactly what happened. I can't talk to these people because he's got them shut out. Now, see, he's not real. He's a phony. He tells people we're in the third day. Well, anybody and their donkey didn't know we're not in the third day. The third day is the millennium. That's been our job. And we're just continuing on with mm-hmm. the program. We see, it's not that hard when you stay mm-hmm. within the confines of the things that you've been called to be. For you and I, it's actually pretty easy. You know, all we got to do, hold on to the fort. Hold on mm-hmm. to the thing that have been done. Look what Brother Branham had to go through to deliver 40 years of messages that he had to go through. And then Brother Jackson comes along and continues on with the program. And all you got to do is sit back and analyze what these people had to go through, agonizing day and night to bring forth the message. And then as soon as they go off to see, everybody in the docks and get together and see how they can pervert it. That's why the Lord, as a watchman, he made sure I'm well informed. Then he gives me the dream about the minefield. Is going to make a minefield out of the ministry of Brother Branham and the ministry of Brother Jackson. They're going to destroy everything that's ever been taught. They're going to use a way of perverting it. And here they come along. After 2 days, we're in the third day. And then they think they can do a better job than Brother Jackson ever taught to do it. Oh, we don't mention names here. Well, Brother Jackson made an effort to mention, call out people by name. He called out Tim McKay. He called out Ralph Strome. And these people, they think they can do a better job. So what did they do? They bring them back into their pulpit, like back in the days of Athiosophines. He offered up a sow at the altar of Jerusalem. When that altar was only ordained to put a lamb on there. Here he brings the sow in. That's exactly what they're doing down there, that Tim Rutherford. He brings these sows in that Brother Jackson already had put on the house, and he brings them back in. Just like Saul, when he was told to go destroy the Amalekite. He saves the king to bring the king in. And God was very displeased with him, and so much that he cost him his future. God took the kingdom away from him. And here they're doing it wholesale in the pulpit. Tim Rutherford, he brings these tugs in and brings these sows into his pulpit. And they don't see the horror in the nightmare because they've not been called. They'd not be called for that job.
That's right.
All he's been called to do is be a song leader. Mm-hmm. They should have stayed with that. And as time goes on, God usually brings in somebody else, like Philip. You go into the Bible, and there was Philip. He was an evangelist. He was the pastor. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, the Lord brought in pastors for that church. But Philip, he was an evangelist, and he stayed an evangelist. And here these people, they think they're called to preach.
Everybody thinks they're a preacher nowadays. They go on YouTube and they watch something, and then all of a sudden they decided, you know what, I can preach too. And like my brother Ernie, he sends YouTube's video all the time, you know, and with preachers. We're not interested in these things because we know what we have. We're not interested to see what TikTok preacher has to say, you know. It's just a TikTok preacher. You know those Cracker Barrel, Cracker popcorns. Mm-hmm. There was usually a little trinklet in there, you know. And that's a TikTok preacher. That's what I call a TikTok preacher. Anyway, I was going to read something here in Deuteronomy 33. Of Levi, he said, your Tum and Urim belongs to your Holy One, whose authority and you challenged at Massah, and with whom you argued at the waters of Meribah. He said to his father and his mother, I have not seen him. And he did not acknowledge his own brothers or know his own children, for they kept your word and guarded your covenant. They will teach Jacob your ordinances and Israel your laws. They will offer incense as a pleasant odor and a whole offering on your altar. Mm-hmm. See, there was this Levite that when push came to shove, when those Moabites came in and defiled the camp of Israel, he went and slew that Moabite woman and that Israelite who was defiling the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, God elected that tribe, and they will teach Jacob your ordinances. Mm-hmm. Because God knew that he was going to do a good job of it, and he's going to have a righteousness about him, you know. And that's people don't understand when we speak the way we do, you know. There is something in you that wants to uphold the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying, having Tim, with Tim Rutherford, having Strowman and Tim McKay into his pulpit, and the very people that Brother Jackson dealt with when he was here, with what they were doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the very people that Tim Rutherford allows into his pulpit. See, that's not the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. The righteousness God has a vigor,
mm-hmm,
and a vigilance, you know. It's not compromised.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the people that God elects to teach Jacob his laws, because Those are the people that God knows will do it in a fair manner and will not take scales and different set of weights for certain members and certain members that. That's why you have to rule in righteousness. If you don't, then you're compromised. You're ineffective.
Yeah, that's what I said back there. When you came to your father and your dad, your mother and your parents, you went straight through it, love. Your father and mother were wrong. You call it out as wrong. And then when your brother was wrong, you call it out as wrong. You had no personal preference. And then when your children did wrong, you call it out. That's what the Levites were tested. That's what God went back when they were tested there at that water. The Levites, they went straight through and they went and they just knocked that guy out and killed him right there in the spot. And here, this thing is being, everybody thinks they could go up and preach in the pulpit when God being tested. See, you and I, we've been tested. I've been tested. Oh, Sheila, I went, had to go up against my dad and I said, flat out told him right to his face, I lost my respect for you as preacher, respect as a dad and all that. But as a preacher, the way you twist the scripture, now all of a sudden, it's okay to go to court and sue your brothers and all these things that they were starting to bring into the system. And I said, I can't support you anymore. And I told my father-in-law, I told him the same thing. He, that's what a watchman does. He doesn't care. He goes up and he just calls it out the way it is. I had to tell my brother, you know, and then I just let my children know, I'm going straight through, and that's it. Same with you. You had to, you got no family. You got nobody. You just got to go straight through, and nobody supports you. Nobody supports me. And but see, we're going straight through. That's why we have to jump. That's why God gave us the responsibility to hold the line onto the thing that we've given to the church here to Laodicea. We got an easy job, but we got to know what we have been called to do. We can't go out there and pretend we're something we're not. You see them by the thousands. They flock up to the pulpit, and before you know it, they think they'll be called to preach. And, especially that Brenham movement. Anybody that can read a book and can see Brother Brenham about 10 times when you only have to say it once, they qualified to preach. And the devil anoints them, and then, oh, it's a mess out there. But see, at the end of the day, that's what's going to count. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they're going to find out you and I have been called to hold on to a line on the thing that have been taught. That's been our job.
And that's what the watchman does. That's why it says, make your calling and election sure. If you make your calling and election sure, then you know what you're called to do. And we're called to keep a line on what God has restored in the Laodicea church hour and what he's done. And to keep a hold on that. If you don't, you compromise, then it just goes away. Then nobody has anything. But we know the beautiful things that God has done for the Gentiles in the grace age. And just like in the children of Israel, they were told to preserve the things that God has done for them so that they can tell their children and children. And that's how you uphold the laws of God and his ordinances. Because if you don't know who God is, how can you uphold his ordinances and his laws and his teachings? And that's what he's done with us. That's why we were called to keep a line on it, to make sure that nobody takes it away. Because the devil, he's always prowling around like the roaring lion, the destructive force that he is, and he wants to take away what God has done. And if we don't stay sober and vigilant, then the devil comes and takes it away.
And then he gave us the commission to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what we've done. We went out and told these other, that thing that you have, it's not of God. Behind it is the spirit of Satan. And they don't know any better. They just start dead, and then they get out, and they make a preacher, and they figure if your name comes out of that, all of a sudden, God wants it that way. Now you're a preacher. You're not be called to be a preacher. If you are called to be a preacher, you'll do what you and I are doing. You're going to uphold the things that have been given to the church, to lead us here. the ministry of Brother Branham, and then the ministry of Brother Jack, you're going to uphold that very thing. It's not that hard here. If you're not be called to preach, you better not try it, because that blood will be required at your hands. And not only that, what you're doing, you're giving people a wrong steer, and on the day of judgment, God's going to hold you accountable. And that's what we fear. That's why we're going so diligent. That's why we're so verbal. We're putting things out there because we know we're right, and we don't care. We let the chips fall where they may. They can kill us if they want. They can burn us at the stake if they want. They can terminate us. They can lie up things about us as much as they want. But at the end of the day is what counts. At the end of the day, you want to make sure you're right between your standing is right between you and the Lord. That's all we're doing. That's what we're about. We're telling people the truth. And right now, there's a little bit of window open for the invitation to the marriage of the Lamb. Let whosoever will let him come. Let him that heareth he come. That's all. That's what we're doing here in these closing days of time. Because once that happens, that era will throughout eternity will forever be over. It'll never come back. Just like it was throughout for 2,000 years of the grace age. It was God, the Holy Spirit calling out the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. By this October 15, 2021, that era stopped. Now you can go out there and you can get baptized 100 times. It doesn't mean nothing. That era is over. All the thing that's open now, there's a little bit of a season of time to take and accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever is the thirst, let him come. The Spirit of the bride shall come. All God's energy and all His mercy and His grace has been poured out on the human race here for the little season of time to come and get itself ready and prepared to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can go read it over in Matthew 22, and you can go also read what the problem will be when these people that rejected that invitation. You go read it for yourself, just like you and I did. We went search things out ourselves. We sought our own salvation with fear and trembling. And then because we didn't trust these people in the pulpit, we found out they're giving us the wrong steer. We found out they're telling us lies. And we had to go dig out and find out what is going on at the church age. And later said we found that prophet, that Malachi 4 prophet. Then we found that apostle, Brother Raymond M. Jackson, the apostle to the age. And then we dwell in them, and we saturate ourselves with that fact. And then, lo and behold, the Lord gives us the responsibility to hold on to the things that we taught and to continue on with the program and to send out that living water, that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's our job. That's all we're doing. And if somebody wants to hear us, if somebody wants to come on board, we've been saying it over and over again, and there is peace, joy unspeakable, full of glory, and there's your cure for cancer, and there is everything that needed for daily living and here in these closing days of time. And it's a sure shot, like we're talking about that stream, Eweisein and Strom, that's an Adelie flute. All you gotta do is come and interconnect and tell people about it, and you're off to the races. You're off to glory. It's just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We give you thanks, Lord. We know that you called us out to do a certain job, Lord, to make our calling and election sure, Lord. You've given us the truth for this day and age, Lord, and you brought us to the ministry of that prophet, Lord. You sent a prophet to the age of Laodicea to turn our hearts back to the faith of the early church, turn our hearts back to the Bible, Lord, and You called us out, Lord, to preserve that and to make sure that we continuously speak on those things, what you have done, Lord, so people know what you've done in this hour and what where you're at and where it is at, Lord. So we just want to make sure that people know where that stream of living waters is, Lord, that you're still supply it in this day and age, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.